Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's been 2 weeks. I'm Luke, and we are back with The Breakdown with Pastor Kurt joining us today.
Hey, it's like old times.
It is like old times.
And it wasn't uncommon for us back then to miss a week either.
No. It happens. We had a Memorial Day, and there was some scheduling issues with me and work, and Jamal, who was going to record that week. It just didn't work, but he will be coming another week.
I love it.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I love getting to talk with Jamal.
Do you ever sit back and think about when we first started this years ago and how we started with video?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Yep. It's kind of funny.
So there are people who go back and watch those.
Do they really?
Yes.
I feel like they're probably a little embarrassing at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. It's definitely grown, right?
Yeah, you know, like all things.
Like any child, you know, have that awkward phase, that adolescence. And
that's
then
definitely awkward.
I like to think that we've matured.
I hope so.
But, you know,
We're
always growing.
We sure are. And I was thinking about this recently. I'm like, wow, this is pretty amazing. This show has been going strong for a while. Kind of interesting that you asked me to join you this week, because after church on Sunday, after Pastor Zach's message, where I heard a bunch of people like, whoa, that was a fire hose. It's like being in a class for those of us who have been in Bible school classes. And somebody just slapped me on the shoulder like, have fun with this one, Kurt, on The Breakdown. I was like, no, this is all Luke. I don't even have to do this. Lo and behold,
you got asked.
You texted me.
Amen. Whoever that was, they were in line with the Spirit.
That was Steve Gagne. Thank you, Steve. You were right on.
There we go.
Hey, but before we get into this week, you were kind of reminding me, since we didn't get to do it last week, there was somebody who preached last week and he said, Luke, don't mess me up on The Breakdown. Do you remember
that? Yes. Bishop Siddarshan Kamanapali.
He's great.
And I wanted to cover that because there was a lot there. The life of Moses.
So good.
And I really thought it was cool how he just kind of took us through Moses' life.
Mm-hmm.
And there were different points along that path where he brought out different insights and different ways that we could be thinking about it and then applying it to our own life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were listening, if you didn't get to listen, go back and watch that message. And what I would encourage you to do is... maybe there's a certain part of Moses' story that you're relating to in your walk with the Lord right now. Or maybe there's something about your past that resonates, and allow the Lord to use that to continue to do a deeper work in you.
So good.
But before we get into Bishop Siddarshan's Kamanapali's message, let's just talk about School of the Spirit.
Oh, you're so kind. You're
the fall
good.
Is approaching.
It is.
Even though we are in summer. We're getting into
like
that
we're all
heat.
Trying to get ready for summer,
yes,
Luke. Why are you reminding us for fall?
Well,
we're trying to come out of the cold weather.
Well, we want to be good stewards and plan ahead, right?
That's right.
And Pastor Zach's taking us through some really meaty messages.
Yeah.
So you may be finding yourself wanting to learn more or just grow deeper in the Lord. And we have some really exciting things coming up at School of the Spirit.
We absolutely do. It was last year in 2024 that we graduated our first class from School of the Spirit. And it was amazing to see what God had done in the lives of those people who were so faithful to track with us all the years of changing classes and all these different things. And so the Lord really gave Jennifer and I a vision at the start of the year. We knew that some changes were coming, and He gave us a vision at the start of the year to kind of map out a one-year program. Mm. We got together with our faculty. You were there.
Yes.
And we're praying. We're yielding before the Lord. And we're saying, God, what's next for this school? We feel like, not that we've climaxed, but sort of that we've kind of plateaued, and we need to hear something fresh. And as we all got into that yielding session, God began to speak several things. And in fact, you came to me at the end of the night, and your word confirmed the word that I had, which was give a year, give a year, give a year. And so Jennifer and I took that information. We went back and sought the Lord, and we sat down for 3 months. And sometimes it was like hours and hours and hours of sessions of just praying and piecing together what 1 year track look like. Because I think the challenge we've had is we have great classes. Listen,
we have a lot of classes.
We have a lot of classes. And I don't want to say this arrogantly, Luke, but you know as well as I do, we don't get a whole lot of negative feedback from our school. We get a lot of praise and positive feedback. And what that tells us, and usually the praise is not like, oh, you guys are the greatest teachers in the world. What we hear is, this stuff is transformational.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm this old and it's taken me this long to understand. And so what we wanted to say is, let's not try to drag people through 3 or 4 years of a program to get it. What would it look like if, say, some seniors who just graduate or somebody who has some time in their nighttime schedule or daytime schedule, how do we take them through in 1 year?
Yep.
And so, you know, we're very excited. We have a brand new 1-year program. You can get onto our website to find out more, schoolthespirit.church. It comes down to $250 a month. Yeah. So that's $2,500 for your whole 1-year program. We're going to take you through 16 classes. We're going to get you experienced in the Word of God and in practical ministry.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
It's going to be amazing. Yes, you're going to be experiencing what it's like to get out there on the streets and see God move through you. Sometimes we get concerned in ministry because we're thinking, in fact, you just said it. Why do we get stressed out? Mm-hmm. Because we think we have to produce something.
Yep. But this was just for you, those of you listening. This was a conversation before we recorded.
Yeah, that's right. You said it before the mic.
They were not with us.
No, they weren't. But, you're right.
But yes,
right.
We do get stressed, especially as ministers or as vessels or when you are working for the Lord or you're serving, there's a stress that comes when I think in our flesh, we start to think that we are responsible for what only God can do.
Exactly.
Which is, I cannot conjure the presence of God. I can be a vessel. I can be a servant, but the presence of God has to come and do what he does. And he comes as he chooses.
Yeah.
Right.
And he responds to our heart posture and our attitude. And so, you know, we talk about being ministers and we, Luke and I talk like this, and Pastor Zach and Pastor John and Pastor Mike, everybody speaks freely like this because the truth is there's no way around it. Mm-hmm. That the scripture teaches us in Ephesians chapter 4 that the five gifts we look at, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, that they have been given to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Ergo, we're all ministers. Mm. One of the first things we come at right out of the gate at School of the Spirit is we tell everybody you're a full-time minister of the gospel, no matter where you are, no matter what you do.
Absolutely.
No, it doesn't mean you have a pulpit you're standing in every Sunday, but it does mean you're called to make disciples. You're called to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so if every believer is a disciple maker, and if every believer is called to preach the gospel, not just the pastors on Sunday, then every believer needs to know how to be a disciple, him or herself, Amen. Of Jesus.
Amen.
And every believer needs to know the gospel at the core so that they can communicate it and see what Jesus saw and do what Jesus did. That's
Amen.
It.
Amen.
That's the training of School of the Spirit.
Amen.
I don't care how young or how old you are. I love that our school has always ranged from 18 to 75, literally. Mm-hmm. So if you've got young people that are coming out, they're graduating and they don't know what to do, they're taking a gap year, this is the best year they can invest $2,500 in.
No, it was so cool, especially this the last semester I taught in the fall of my course, we had a high school student.
Yes.
And we had senior citizens. And it was so cool.
It's awesome.
To see how they were receiving from one another.
So good.
And we had this full counsel that comes from different giftings, but also different ages.
Yeah.
And I believe that why the School of the Spirit and the classes are so transformational is because it is just that. It's the school of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Yes, that's good.
The teachers, like myself or you, we are just vessels and we facilitate.
That's exactly right.
We facilitate and we teach the syllabus that the Lord has placed in our heart. Like you told me that when I was going to be teaching, you're like, the Lord's going to give you a syllabus. And it happened just as you said. But every single group of students has been unique.
Yes.
And the Lord has always tailored, even though that syllabus stays pretty much the same.
It does.
The content and each class is so tailored to what those students and even myself are going through at that time.
That's exactly right.
So it's always alive. And so if you're hearing this, take a class.
Yeah.
If you really want to go deeper and you want to take 1 year to go deep with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, sign up for that 1 year. Just take that step of faith and do that.
And I want to say the 1 year program, and we can call it after this, Luke, you've been so gracious to give us this plug here, but the 1 year program can be done during the day, 2 days a week, or during the night, 2 days a week, or a combination of both.
Wow.
So we've tried to make this available for everybody because we really do believe the time is short. Mm-hmm. The saints need to know. We need to be equipped for the work of the ministry that we are called to. SchoolTheSpirit.church. Check it out. We'd love to see you there.
Absolutely. And for those, because I know a little bit about this program.
Yeah.
For those of you who do sign up for the 1 year, there will be special offerings and special activities just for you.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So we're trying to build this, what the Lord, you know, like the disciples walked together and they had some special things that were taking place. So we're looking forward to that, which you're a part of too, Luke. So thank you so
much. It's so cool. I'm excited for the fall, but we're going to enjoy summer.
Summer. Yep.
We're going to enjoy summer. We have two missions trips. We have a missions trip to Mexico.
Wild.
A missions trip to Moldova.
And they're happening.
They are happening. People are still raising money. If you feel led to give to either of those teams, there are people who are still raising their funds.
Right.
If you need yard work done, please contact the church. There are teenagers and adults on those teams who would be very happy to do some work for you, babysitting, and anything, you name it, that you want in turn for a donation. They will be very happy to do that. And then there's also supplies that each of the teams needs. So if you want to donate in regards to supplies, just contact the church and we can direct you in as far as that goes.
Great. That's awesome. Yeah, our church email is info@hpc.church and then the phone number is on the website.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's dive in. Mm-hmm. So we are pre-Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's great.
We are with Bishop Sudarshan Kamanapali.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've heard the word bishop and you don't know what that means. Kurt, what does bishop mean?
Overseer.
It's overseer.
Just simple. Okay. Overseer. You know, you look at the scripture, you see that the writer Paul talks about it a couple of times. It's just simply overseer, someone who is in the church. And why is bishop, Bishop mm-hmm. Sudarshan?
Yes.
We tend to look at these things as accolades and achievements.
A title. Yeah.
And they're really not. They're really not. What they are is their responsibilities and duties. You know, if you don't know Sudarshan, he is responsible to oversee, it's got to be more than 100 at this point, churches and pastors, mm-hmm. and I'm probably downplaying, it's probably more, in India.
Right.
So his mom and dad founded this ministry of Mana Ministries, and he and his wife, Asha, are managing all of them. So aside from what we get to see here in the States, they're running this international ministry. It's just amazing.
It's amazing.
It really is.
Absolutely amazing. And, you know, and that's, it's cool to see the hand of God at work all across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that, you know, there's times like I take solace and peace in knowing that I'm connected
to
the global work of God.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you can get so lost in your own drama, your own garbage, understand that the Lord is in you and he's working all of that out. And the power of the Holy Spirit has spanned thousands of years, and has moved across continents and arranged it so that you are now part of the fire of the Holy Spirit reaching the earth.
So good. It's so good. And you see that even as you're talking, I know we're going to head into the life of Moses, and you see that Moses does get completely caught up in this story that he's a part of. And you can see right off the bat, you know, and I think about my own self, when you're raised and you're told that you have a call, you know, and you're told that there's some part of you that's special, you can step into trying to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And you see that Moses, you know, part of what Bishop Sudarshan was chronicling for us is that Moses kind of takes like, wait a minute, you know, this must be my opportunity now. If God is bringing me to this situation, I see the mistreatment of my people. Mm-hmm. This must have been what my mother was telling me about. This must have been what it's all for.
Yeah.
And it just blows up in his face, mm-hmm. you know, and there is this humbling. And this is one of the things that's always encouraged me is that I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of my age and I'm not afraid of my timeline. And I think they always would say in Bible college that preparation time, in fact, Greg Moore used to say it, preparation time is never wasted time. And you look at Moses, he's got preparation under Egypt, right? Pharaoh, but he also has 40 years. The first time of preparation in the wilderness.
That's older than us.
That is. You know, well, a little bit older than
aren't you 32?
I sure am.
I'm
thank
older
you,
than
Luke.
You. I'm your older brother.
I love it. Right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
But it's not a waste. You know, can you imagine? I think about myself a lot of times and how I've blown it in certain things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm gonna go and hide for a while.
Yeah.
And the Lord never forgets where you are, and he never forgets the call that he's deposited. And you see that Moses for 40 years is in the wilderness long before he ever takes the children of Israel there.
Yeah.
He's there by himself and he's resigned himself to tending sheep. He's got a wife, you know, and he's just going to be there. But God didn't forget. And at the appropriate time, God encounters him.
Mm.
He doesn't do the work to encounter God, but maybe there's just enough of that sense of self and ego that's been worn off to where God says, aha, now I can meet this man.
Right. Right. Well, also, if you think about the giftings that were honed in that 40 years, he becomes a husband.
Yep.
He becomes a father.
Yeah.
Those would be giftings that he would need to walk in.
So good.
To lead the people.
So good.
So there's a long really time of preparation and exercising those muscles.
Mm-hmm.
When he was a prince, you know, he had the rulership. And he had the trappings and he had the education that came with that, right? So it's not to diminish that.
No.
He was going to need that. He was going to need to have a comfort moving in those circles.
Yeah.
And having that knowledge, right? Because then the Lord was going to use him to write the first five books of the Bible. So he's growing in being a good student, in being able to you know, function around nobility.
Yeah.
Even though he was slow of speech.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Well, I'm thinking about this, Luke, as you're talking, you can kind of see these two opposing experiences. You have young 40-year-old Moses, who may feel like I'm entering my prime. He's the one that slays and murders the Egyptian. You have 80-year-old Moses saying to God, I can't go before Pharaoh. You now have some posture of humility that says, I've learned something in these 40 years.
Right.
And where I might have come from this nobility, I cannot go back. Mm-hmm. Who am I going to tell them sent me, you know?
Right. 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 So moving into that, or before, let's just talk about the importance of his mother and his parents.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's something that we need to emphasize. Mm-hmm. I don't have actual children of my own, but working with the youth, it's like you can, I've had, I guess, like a fatherhood or like
I would agree. I've watched
brotherhood, like
you
awakened in me when it comes to working with the kids.
Yeah.
It's so important that we are nurturing what the Lord is doing in the kids and understanding that you don't always see the fruit right away.
Mm.
Sometimes the fruit doesn't come for decades.
Yeah.
But Moses' mother was faithful.
Yeah.
She risked her life to save him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you have kids, understand that, you know, it is, you are the primary influence in their life for the Lord and for the good that God wants to do in their life. Now you're not going to do it perfectly. My parents didn't do it perfectly,
right?
But they were faithful and consistent in always pointing us to the Lord.
This is really good, Luke, because as parents, you know, and if you can think about types and shadows, if you have any type of Bible understanding, you know, a lot of what we see in the Old Testament, there are types and foreshadows of what God is doing, which we see fulfilled in the New Covenant, the New Testament. And you have Egypt always representing bondage and many times the world. And so you see these opposing cultural influences of, you know, the young Moses being raised in Pharaoh's house under the world and bondage of Egypt, but still being nursed and weaned and probably having some level of influence from his Hebrew mother.
Right.
So he grows up in this dichotomy and this paradoxical experience. And it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And I think it just goes to show the importance of, yes, we're raising our children in a world that's filled with bondage, that they're constantly influenced by culture. But as the parents, and I want to say to you, Luke, this is from me to you now. Paul says to the church at Corinth that you have 10,000 teachers, you have not many fathers,
right,
but I have become a father to you
because
I begat you in the faith. Mm. And Luke, that is the same heart that the Lord has put inside of you. Yes, you'll have your own kids one day, but you are a father to so many of these kids. And it is a critical role. So whether you're a mentor, father in youth ministry or just in life, we challenge people all the time, Luke. We're always telling them, listen, we're none of us are innocent bystanders at church when we show up on Sunday or Tuesday. We all are community. We all are family. We should be sowing into each other, sowing into each other's kids. And we know the bondage that's in the world and we know the influence.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to be just like Moses's mom and constantly speaking to the truth, especially in those early formative years, this is who you are. This is who God made you to be. You're speaking to that inner person so that no matter how far they move forward in life, what does the proverb teach us? Train the child in the way he should go. Mm-hmm. And when he is old, he will not depart. So there is this concept of depositing early.
Right. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's good.
What stood out to you from Moses's life that you feel led to press into right now?
Yeah, I know. We didn't even get to this past Sunday. You're probably listening saying, are we going to do the show from
there?
Yeah, we'll get there.
We might do a double feature.
Okay.
Who knows? Cool.
I saw Sudarshan at the King's Gala on Thursday night after he had preached. And I said, Sudarshan, I've come back to... I often teach on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, I often teach on the law.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
I often teach on the law and prophets being present, you know, beholding Jesus. But you said to me what part of Moses' life, and I'm actually going to his eternal life because part of what Sudarshan was revealing that I had never really seen before, my aha moment during his message was, wow, God wastes nothing and his promise is sure. And we're so short-sighted, and we think if we don't get it in this lifetime, we somehow have missed it. But Moses was standing in the promised land. I mean, if he hadn't pointed that out, I would have never thought about it. Right. It's just the mountain of transfiguration where Jesus is. So making that correlation and that connection that this is the promised land where Jesus is standing, and beholding him is the law, Elijah is the law, Moses and Elijah, the prophets, and testifying of who he is. So this is just amazing to me, because I think about just, we have to have the eternal perspective.
Oh, yes, we do.
And Hebrews 11 talks about the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how they even died in faith, not having obtained the promise, but seeing it afar off. Moses would be that very same thing, not having physically obtained the promise.
He physically saw it afar off.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And so it's you're right. It's just kind of this amazing place of like, whoa, I didn't realize you could die in faith when you haven't yet physically taken it to yourself. And God has a way of working all things together, even after death. I mean, I kind of get it, but I don't really get it. So I'm just, it's kind of what stood out to me, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think we physically can, because, you know, our brains are finite.
Yeah.
We are talking about the eternal things.
The eternal.
But that is where I think we have to, what we capture from that is your life is not ordinary. You have an extraordinary life.
Yeah.
And when you have this eternal perspective, when you have this kingdom mindset that spans beyond your life here, it drives everything that you do.
That's true.
And I, as you were talking, you know, I was reminded, you know, the Greek word for faith is pistis. That's where we get the word like epistemology, the study of knowledge. Mm. So it's, what are you believing? What do you know? And do you know it to the point that it drives your actions? Mm. So like, we walk by faith,
it's
not
good.
By sight.
It's good.
So I know this. Yeah. I am believing this. And so now I walk this way.
That's good.
And when we have that eternal mindset and perspective, it changes how we see our physical world.
Yes. Which is good, because you hear Paul, or you read Paul say things or write things like, while we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are temporary, the things that are unseen are eternal.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. Or we walk by faith and not by sight. What you just said kind of encapsulates how we do it. Mm-hmm. The only way to truly do it is what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 11:1, that faith is that confident assurance that I have the things that God says that I have, whether I physically touch them or not.
Right. And the word says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
That's right.
Both his written word and then the Holy Spirit giving you that word that you need for your life today.
Yeah. Amen. You know, Luke, I could be on this all day. You're asking me about one of my favorite people in the whole world. So Bishop Siddharshan Kamanapali. And Moses.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So there was just one thing that I wanted, that I first wanted to bring up.
Okay.
And so it's talking about, you know, Moses, and as a prince, it's like he had the trappings of authority, but those trappings are not true authority.
Yeah.
And you know, Bishop Kamanapali said? He said he wouldn't be accepted until he came in under the right authority.
Yes.
So part of him going out to Midian is that's where he was going to encounter the Lord.
That's right.
So before that, he had the trappings of the authority. But he didn't, you know, as you can see, like he acted and killed, and then he had to run away.
Yeah.
But then he has that burning bush encounter.
Yeah.
And for me, what I take from that is, you know, the world tells you to build those trappings.
Yeah.
Everything that the world preaches is your trappings. Mm. It's about you having the right house, having the right job, having the right influence. Those are all trappings. You need to come in under the authority of Jesus. And you need to have, I don't want any trappings in my life that he didn't give me or that he doesn't want me to have. Yeah. And the ones that I do have, I want them to come from him, and I want his power to come through me.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening to this and you're like, how come I feel like I have all these things in my life, but it's just not working, ask the Lord to meet you in a burning bush encounter.
Yeah, 100%. Because if not, those trappings are what are trapping
you,
literally trapping you. And you're assuming, like we all did. Luke, I'm fully convinced that we all need to have multiple burning bush experiences. We all have multiple Isaac laying down the Isaac experiences. These things were written for our benefit so that we can understand the principle by which we obtain these promises. Like, we're not going to walk in and walk out the destiny of God if we don't do it under his authority. We were never made to understand our life apart from the Creator. So we have to know him.
Right.
We have to know who he says that we are. And God, in this burning bush encounter, is literally having, literally telling Moses who he made him to be. He's literally, I mean, you know, think about these great men of faith that we hold in such high esteem. They weren't afraid to argue with God. You know, Abraham's talking him down, you know, before he goes to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It's like, just bear with me a little bit longer, Lord. Moses is over here arguing with the Creator, saying, I can't speak. I can't go before these people. Like, how many of us feel like we would have the courage to interact with God that way? And yet you can see how God is contending with man and working with him. Yeah. So there's even a lot of relational things that are communicated in that experience that show us how much God is for us. Mm-hmm. Jesus brings him to light to us the way he's always wanted to be known, which is Father. So,
amen. Amen. Bishop Kamano Paoli said, salvation comes by the blood. Mm-hmm. But the anointing is only by the Holy Spirit.
Good, which is very true.
And I don't think we can over emphasize that.
No.
We cannot force ourselves to do something that God hasn't called us to do. Mm-hmm. You know, like we need his anointing and authorization.
Mm-hmm.
And until you have that, then you are going to experience a life of frustration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet at the same time, we all can freely experience that.
Yes.
And really all it takes is, you see this as you're talking there, I'm thinking about Acts chapter 1 and 2. Jesus commands them, don't go anywhere, but wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. So they all huddle together. Right. They're of one accord. And boom, the Holy Spirit shows up. They've already had the born again experience because in John 20, Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But now there is this anointing. You know it's an anointing because Peter's the one who stands up and begins to testify, who was previously weak in his speech.
Right.
You know? So you're absolutely right. We have to have that, and Bishop's right, we have to have that anointing of the Holy Spirit. The salvation has come by the blood and we receive it. But the anointing, we really just need to wait on the Lord. You know, open your mouth and I will fill it. Don't prepare before him what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will give you in that hour, because it's him who is speaking in you.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, really important just to trust him for that.
Amen. Yeah. And why I an area that I take comfort in a lot is, you know, because when we walk in this world in the power of the Holy Spirit, it does not mean that it is easy.
No.
It's actually, it gets hard.
Very hard.
It gets harder. But when you are walking in intimacy with the Holy Spirit, you understand it is his power moving through you.
Yeah.
There's a confidence that comes from that, no matter how hard things get or what opposition you face, because you've received that power, you've received that word from the Lord. You know how to walk.
Yeah.
It's a confidence that comes from outside of yourself. And again, the world, it's opposite. It's all about you doing positive self-talk and you building yourself up. And is there, it is true that our words do influence how we see things. You know, I'm saying anything against that. What I'm saying is you need to have a deeper knowing. You have to have a deeper sense of destiny, and that cannot come from yourself. It has to be received by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. We as the created thing cannot tell ourselves how to know ourselves. It doesn't matter what I speak. What I speak for me to grow as the created thing has to come from the Creator.
Absolutely. So if I've misspoken or if I've said something a little, I feel like it can be hard to convey this truth.
No, I feel like we're nailing it.
I want people to get it. Yeah. And it's, you know, just at its basic root, it's you can't live by your own power.
You can't. This is so good. Moses is the testament of that. It's clear.
All right, so let's move to this past Sunday.
Yes,
we're continuing in a super cool series.
So cool.
on the Word of God.
The Word of God. Again, big props to Pastor Zach and David, who are putting together these slideshows and making it really easy to understand and follow along. I love that Pastor Zach gave us his works cited page on Sunday.
That was awesome.
The bibliography. I thought that was magnificent. Yeah. I'm like, this is great. This is really good. And you know, can I just say too, there's an old saying among preachers, and it's the first time I say something somebody else said, I'll quote them. The next time I say something somebody else say, I will say, hey, somebody once said. And finally, the third time that I have repeated something somebody else said, I say, you know, I always say this. And so what's really cool is to see a preacher kind of get up and say, listen, I'm not saying that everything I'm communicating to you today has come from my own head and my own study. These are all the works that I've gone after to study. And I just think that that's great. I think it shows
that's awesome.
It's a great mark of humility.
Absolutely.
Just to acknowledge, like, none of us, you know, nothing's new under the sun, but we haven't been around since the dawn of creation.
No.
So we need to study other things and understand.
Absolutely. You know, because God's truth is truth.
Yeah.
And then God gifts different human beings with the ability to highlight his truth in ways that, you know, it speaks to us.
Amen.
And so it's cool to, you know, read and but again, always hold everything to the Word of God.
That's exactly right.
But read, go learn. People are talented.
I was going to say, listening to Pastor Zach, you know, on Sunday and him throwing out some of these one-liners that for me, I love it because they jolt me a little bit and I have to take time to meditate on them, which is exactly what a good message should do. You know, and as you're listening, as you're receiving, you should be mulling over it, meditating on it weekly, holding it up to the candle of the Word, like you're saying, making sure it aligns. And he talked about how we're not building and basing tons of theology off of these poetical books. And I thought, I really sat on that for a while. And then he goes on to say how, you know, not a lot of pastors are getting up preaching every Sunday from the Psalms or from the Proverbs. Mm-hmm. Now, you have those churches that go line by line, precept by precept, and many of us have taught from the Proverbs. Many of us have taught from Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes, but and Job, really, you have this kind of poetic picture of something that Pastor Zach continues to tout here, and it's that the heart is way more important than that precept, and that jolts me a lot because I'm like that teacher, you know? It's not that the precept isn't important, but the scripture teaches that the letter will kill. It's the spirit that gives life. This was the problem with the Pharisees.
Right. I'm seeing like precept and lived experience, right? Mm-hmm. So we need both. And I think it's not that one diminishes the other. They go together.
Yeah.
But the Psalms, it's this active living experience of walking with the Lord.
Exactly.
And when Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
He was quoting a psalm when he said that.
That's exactly right, yeah.
And so that shows how our emotions are God ordained. Like God created our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to diminish that side of us.
That's right.
And part of walking with the Lord is being honest with where you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And who better to express how you're feeling than to the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found myself, you know, because I was thinking principle-wise, what we say, we've trained most of our boys, at least this is how we were trained, and it's how I'm raising my boys, a simple way to live your life, because the Proverbs is filled with all the wisdom, and he said it. And this is the way that I've always believed it. Everything you need, if you need any wisdom in your life, you're going to find it in the book of Proverbs.
Right.
Why? Because God himself said that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. Now we know that Christ came and he fulfilled all things. So there's no one wiser than Christ, but prior to Christ coming, Solomon was it. So these are the 31 documented that we have from Solomon and maybe a couple other influences or contributors there. And so we teach our boys, like, hey, you've got to get into these Proverbs. They're going to keep you in the way that you should go. The fear of the knowledge is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. Mm-hmm. You've got to understand the Holy One, you know?
Amen.
Solomon even goes to say in Proverbs 1, here's why I've put this together, you know? Now, when the Lord was radically changing my life at 18, and I'll never forget it, I came home. My life was dramatically transformed. I heard the Lord speak to me. I began to I don't know how to pick up from here, God. I was a wreck yesterday, but now you're encountering me today. My burning bush experience. And the Lord drove me right to Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. And the reason he did, I'll never forget it. I read it cover to cover, start to finish. And I read it over and over again. And I was like, wow, I cannot believe that God would permit a book like this to be in his inspired scripture. Why? Because for the first time, I realized that God is real and tangible and approachable. Like you just said, Luke, he is not adjacent to my emotions. He understands, whoa, there's a time and a season for everything. He understands that there are times that I'm working my tail off and I feel like this is vain.
Yeah.
This is vain.
Yeah.
So why do we live? Because coming from a very depressed state, you know, I was saying, wow, this is so relatable. And, you know, what I would say, this, and this may be off, I'm going to let you correct me, but I was very, very depressed when I had come back to the Lord at 18. And the Lord introduced me to Ecclesiastes, and it changed my life because for the first time, I felt like somebody understood me. And I would say, you know, if you're really struggling in an area of depression, Solomon walks you through the reasons why.
Yeah.
Are you putting your trust in pleasure? That's going to fail you. Are you putting your trust in work? That's going to fail you. Mm-hmm. Are you putting your trust in knowledge and philosophy? It's going to come to an end. There's nothing better for a man. Know your creator now while you're young before the difficult days come. There's nothing better for a man than to eat and to drink. And a lot of people misinterpret this and to enjoy the life that he has been given on these toilsome days under the sun. It's important to understand that God expects a joy. God has created you to do the things that seem so vain and still have some joy life-giving from them, you know?
Right. Well, I think, again, it goes back to what we were talking about. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Ecclesiastes is all about those trappings.
Yes.
It's the trappings that the world says is the number one thing.
Mm.
But they're just tools that are meant to be fueled and set afire with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And without them, without the Holy Spirit, it's just, it is vanity. It's like, okay, so why do you go to work every day?
Mm-hmm.
Like why are you working on making money? Like what are you doing this for? You need that bigger eternal perspective.
Yes. Yes.
And that's why it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Yeah.
And I think all of these poetic books can be summed up by that.
Mm.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And even David in the Psalms, like he'll start by you know, talking about how depressed he is and like, you know, or angry and he'll point to injustice in the world or his enemies are after him. And it's like, that's very real.
Like, very real.
It's not dramatic. Like, you know, we talk about it in our life and I think we're just being dramatic, but David actually had someone coming after him with a sword, spear, like wanting to kill him.
Yes.
All right. I think very few of us have been in that situation.
Right.
Right. And yet, you know, it's still real for us, but he starts with those emotions, but then God enters the picture and you see how he starts, his perspective shifts.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I remember God, I go to the house of the Lord. And it's like, it changes and he comes back to his reason for living.
Yeah. This is kind of a pattern, if you will, and a framework, because it's literally showing us, hey, you may start, and this is what you just said, God is totally understanding. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid of our emotions.
And I think you need to express it like that to him.
You do. You do. And that's the beauty of the Psalms. And there's a ton of
permission.
Them. But you see, the longer that David is writing, the more he's starting to come back to. Mm-hmm. It's always this middle section in the ending where it's like he's ending in praise.
Right.
He's ending in praise almost every single time. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, many are they that rise up against me, and many are they who have increased and say, there's no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, you are a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
Yes.
When you read the Psalms, and then you read earlier in some of the Chronicles and Kings and Samuel that David was stirring himself up, encouraging himself in the Lord. Guys, this is our pattern. This is what we need to do. This is how we do it. We remind ourselves, hey, I'm not abandoned. We talked earlier about Jesus quoting Psalm 22. And or 24, I forget, but you know, why have you forsaken me? It's either 22
or 24.
I think
it's 22.
Yeah. And Jesus is quoting it. Guess what? Jesus was forsaken, so you and I wouldn't be because he can't forsake us. It's impossible for him to forsake us, but he forsook Christ. So you see this like, wow, Lord, I feel forsaken right now. I feel totally forgotten right now, but I'm rest assured that Christ was forsaken for me, so I don't have to be.
Yes. Yes. Oh, it's so good.
You know, I love that Job is included in these poetical books. And Pastor Zach, a lot of people will teach on Job. And I think many pastors struggle to extrapolate the truth and the concept. And they're trying to build, huge doctrinal theological statements. And yes, I'm saying that on purpose. We're trying to build these huge positions from Job. And Pastor Zach's like, listen, guys, I think it's more so like the Lord is laying out a picture here for us to understand.
Yeah.
There's far more going on in the spiritual world than you even realize. But at the end of the day, if your heart is to the Lord, you're safe in his arms.
Mm.
You are totally safe in his arms, and he will restore to you that which has been stolen from you. So
yeah.
I do think we are, you know, treading on dangerous territory when we're trying to build these big
yeah.
statements
yeah.
out in positions.
Some of my favorite things that Pastor Zach said on Sunday, I'm probably paraphrasing, but he said that God is worthy of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Even apart from the blessings he bestows.
Yes. Yes.
Again, we go after the blessings,
yeah.
those trappings, mm. right? God may permit suffering as a means of purifying and strengthening the soul in godliness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is really good. And I think it's really hard. So many of us have been trained different ways. So like my ears, I have to tune my ears correctly. When I hear something like God may permit suffering, I have like a whole history
right.
that comes up.
Right.
And I have to now kind of reconcile some matters in my life and some teaching in my life. That is what a good challenging message should do to you on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You should be able to say like, whoa, okay, in this world, we are actually promised mm-hmm. tribulation.
Yeah.
Jesus says, in this world, you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We see in Revelation, we overcome the evil one by the blood of the mm-hmm. Lamb and a word of our testimony.
Amen.
So we're given a pattern. We're given an understanding like, hey, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have suffering in this world. This is not where all the bread and butter is. This is literally where we are putting our hand
yep.
to the grindstone, following the Lord, taking up the cross and following him.
Amen. Amen. You know, you need both. You need both. And we need to, even if we're in a time of testing mm. with the Lord, you still go after the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't right? run from him.
No,
yeah.
Don't go, still go after the Lord and,
yeah.
and know that he's there with you. Like that's the biggest miracle and power is that Jesus says, like, I will be with you always.
Boom. Psalm 46, I will be with you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He is with us in trouble.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we forget, Luke, that God is with us even in the trouble we've created ourselves.
Right.
He doesn't leave us at that moment and be like, shoot, you're on your own now.
Mm-hmm.
No, I will be with you in trouble.
Yeah.
I will deliver you.
Yeah.
Psalm 91, I will deliver you and honor you.
And I do believe that in our spiritual growth,
mm.
in our becoming the men and women of God that he wants us to be, there is like a time of divine testing. Again, mm. we don't see all that perspective.
We don't
see everything that's happening. But, mm. you know, it even says about Jesus. He went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to put that.
Yeah.
But there was a sense that he knew, like, I am going to fast mm. for these 40 days.
Yeah.
And he had us, you know, he knows all things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he encounters Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan takes him through the temptations.
Yeah. You see that Jesus says to Peter, Satan has asked
yeah.
for you, and he's asked
yeah.
to sift you like wheat. Nevertheless, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. Nevertheless, mm-hmm. afterwards, restore when you're restored,
yeah.
you know, come back to your brethren, like teach your
right.
brethren, lead your brethren.
Right.
And so there is this thing of like, and even what you just said, when Matthew chronicles it, and I think Luke chronicles it, that it says that the Spirit drove Jesus out to the wilderness
mm-hmm.
to be put to the test. Now, what is that? Why is that? Well, I think this area of suffering and testing and tempting, first of all, we know James 1, that no temptation comes mm-hmm. from God, right? So even though the Spirit of God is driving Jesus out to the wilderness, all the temptation is coming from Satan. You know,
right.
we're drawn away and tempted by our own desires.
Right.
So what's really being put to the test in that place? It's this flesh.
Yeah.
This flesh and this soul are being put to the test. So A, not so God can discover what's in
no,
man. He already
no.
knows what's
yeah.
in man.
Yeah.
And so we can come to terms with where we are
mm-hmm.
and what we actually need to live out this life, which
right.
is, as you said earlier
right.
with Moses, the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's got to be the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And, you know, in Hebrews, it says that Jesus was made like his brethren. He was tempted in
yep.
all the same points. And so and now you have this and you have this promise that Jesus says, I will be with you always.
Yes.
So when we are in this time of testing, I'm not supposed to be operating in fear.
Mm.
I operate in the confidence that, okay, Jesus is with me right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jesus, you've overcome this temptation test.
That's good, Luke. That's good.
How do I do this? I know you've already paid the price for whatever we're going through. How do I get equipped? And going right to Jesus, again, the world will tell you, you have to go find a counselor. You have to find this person or that, or do this thing. And it's, those things are good. They are good things. I'm not diminishing good counseling or even good pastoral leadership, but it's go to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All those things serve us if they are pointing us back to Jesus. And yeah. Jesus is the one who has overcome.
Yep.
He's the one that's paid the price. Let's ask him to counsel us.
Good. That's really good. It's really good. It's great time today, really diving into these things, you know. And I know for me, Luke, I will just be honest, and the immature and the weak side of me that I've finally been able to identify, so now I'm able to resist. But the weak side of me has often been to default. When I run into trouble, I'm looking up to God, kind of shaking my fist, saying, God, why I've been so faithful to you? Mm-hmm. Why am I in this mess?
Yeah.
And that, if I'm really honest with myself, for me, and everybody kind of deals with it differently. So for me going—
I think everyone says a prayer like that.
Okay.
At some point, yeah.
Me going through this growth in the last 5 years of my life has really brought me to the place of what we just talked about. Like, whoa, suffering and tribulation guaranteed in this lifestyle. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we don't love our lives unto the death. And we know that Jesus was the forerunner. And so he is with us, like you said.
Amen.
Coming to this place of like, whoa, I love what you just said. If we can all do that before we start shaking our fist up to heaven and say, God, I've been too good for this to happen to me. And we say, wait, Jesus has already overcome this.
Yes.
There is something here for me to overcome. I'm going to submit to the Lord. Now, James gives us the model. Now we draw near to God. We resist the devil. We submit to God and he will draw near to us. So we have this pattern there.
Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
So remember, you are a sheep. You need to be guided.
Yeah.
Let's just end by talking about Song of Solomon.
Oh, do you really want me to? Because I love Song of Solomon.
I do. Okay. I do. I figured you did.
So. I've been teaching young people about Song of Solomon for many years. You know, when you're a youth pastor, you got to get into it. And
it's great.
I've always loved it. And I've heard a lot of different preachers teach on like, oh, this is not... Pastor Zach said it. He gave three ways to look at it.
I thought that was really cool.
I thought that was perfect. And I love where he said, we as a church land here, because it's where I land personally too.
Yep.
And it really is this picture of our relationship with the Lord, and that we shouldn't be afraid of the intimacy that's exposed, because God is not afraid that our relationship should be that intimate with him. Mm-hmm. Don't get caught up on the over-dramatized sexual writings in Song of Solomon. Look at the intimacy.
Yeah.
You are altogether lovely.
Right.
You know, look at your teeth, look at your hair, look at the way, you know, your hips are set as, or your thighs are set on top of it, like your knee, all these different things. It's like, it's amazing, because the Lord is actually showing us, this is how Jesus sees the bride. You are altogether lovely, you know, and even this lovesick transpiring that takes place where it's like, she came looking and he did, or he came looking and she didn't open the door. I mean, I could talk on that all day. You know, there's so many different things that are going on there. And we hear about Jesus. If you look at Jesus as the husband in that situation, or the groom in that situation, he comes looking. And many times we're like, I'm already in bed. You know, my door is shut. Like I'm not getting up. And then we try to go out and find him, but now we're trying to do it our way. So we're getting into all sorts of bumps and bruises, and yet he comes back to find us. And even now, we're all together lovely. She keeps communicating, I'm dark. I've been in the field. I've been working hard. I'm not like my sisters. He's like, you're lovely. Mm-hmm. You are perfect. The way your eyes are set, my dove, my perfect one. You know. Yeah. In fact, Jennifer and I have
beautiful
on my ring here, Jennifer wrote on the inside, set me as a seal upon your heart. And on her ring, I wrote, my dove, my perfect one, you are the only one. And so you see this beautiful, it weaves right in. And if we're taking our cues from the Lord, it comes right into our romance with our spouse and how we're loving our wives or loving our husbands. And, you know, if you're engaged, it gives you a picture to look to. And if you're not, if you're dating, it shows you what you should expect. And if you're single, it shows you what you can actually run after, you know, and trust the Lord for.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing those insights.
Yeah, I love it. You must have some things to say on Song of Solomon.
I think you've covered it all. But I think that I'll speak to the discomfort that I think some people feel.
Okay.
So again, when it comes to sexuality and marriage, understand that the Lord is the author of that. Mm-hmm. He created that.
Yeah.
So when we have this discomfort, this goes back to the fall.
Yes.
Right? So when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they immediately do? Mm-hmm. They covered themselves. They covered the most intimate parts of themselves.
Yes.
And those intimate parts of themselves were for what? For creation.
Yeah.
And who created all things? Mm-hmm. God. And man was made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And I believe that one of the most powerful ways that we display the image of God is when we create. So you were designed to create.
Yep.
Not just babies, but I'm saying like create.
Yeah.
And then also what's interesting is when we procreate, when we create babies, it's also a pleasurable experience.
Yes.
And it doesn't always lead to a baby. Mm-hmm. So there's two truths there where
that's
it's
exactly
like
right.
We experience the intimacy of God. And in our relationship with God, we also just experience intimacy with him.
Yep.
And then at times it gives birth to new things.
Mm-hmm.
So it mirrors this walk with the Lord. And that's why I think Satan does so much to try to come at human sexuality. It's because it is how the image of God is displayed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bible also says that the Son of Man, Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve,
mm-hmm.
right? The world will teach you that a sexual experience is so that you can have your needs met.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at the scripture, we get this truth that it's no, I am to give. And even the word love, agape, is like a giving kind of love.
Yeah.
So our satisfaction and fulfillment is through giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't run from this. But that discomfort that we have, it's because the Lord probably still has some work to do inside of you in regards to understanding what he created in its proper place.
So good. I actually love that you bring up the pleasure of it, because if you go back to the first, I call it a command, but the first thing that the Lord says to Adam and the woman, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. We kind of, religion and tradition has gone just to multiply, mm-hmm. procreate. That's your job as a Christian. He actually said, be fruitful. Mm-hmm. Fruitful implies pleasure.
Yeah.
So there is a pleasure that is supposed to be derived and enjoyed and experienced in that covenantal relationship of marriage.
Right.
It's God created the pleasure
part
of it. He wasn't an idiot.
Yeah.
Pleasure didn't come after sin.
Mm-hmm.
At his right hand are pleasures evermore. So it's not like, you know, intercourse and sex became super pleasurable after sin.
Amen.
No, it was always created that way.
No. And you know, we think about, like, you know, Paul talks about, you know, when we walk in the spirit, like we won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. And then we experience the fruit of the spirit.
Amen.
So if you want to grow in the spirit, it requires intimacy with the Lord.
So good. This is great. What was this show, like an hour? It's like the old days. This is a great show.
This is we're coming up on about 52 minutes.
It's a great show.
It's pretty awesome. We don't want to skimp out.
No, I loved it. So thanks for having me.
We want to be
today.
Good stewards of what the Lord's brought in.
We covered two messages.
So. We did.
Tons of fun.
Very cool.
It's great.
Hopefully we never have to do four messages. That would be a very long show.
That'd be a lot. That'd be a lot.
We would give Joe Rogan a run for his money. Long form podcast.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot.
I would need some food.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll bring it next time.
Okay. All right, man. Bless us in prayer. We're going to go and live the lives the Lord has called us to live.
All right, Father, we thank you for our study today, that as we have these two messages we're looking at from the past 2 weeks, studying the life of Moses and thinking about from his mom to his own life, to his sister, to Pharaoh's daughter, to being in Pharaoh's house, to just encountering you at the bush and taking these children of Israel out of bondage, and then not even being able to physically enter the promised land. But hello, in resurrection life, he's able to get there and standing with Jesus. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the studies of these poetical books, that we've been able to talk about them. And in one conversation, we can talk about suffering. Mm-hmm. We can talk about promise. We can talk about pleasure. We can talk about wisdom. We can talk about overcoming fear and anxiety and depression, just from a study and a quick survey of these poetical books. Father, may we not be the people who scour the scripture to try to understand a head knowledge, but we may be a people who study your word to know you. It is about a heart that you're communicating. We know that the letter will kill, but the spirit gives life. So Holy Spirit, we're asking you as we discover these books, as we open them and read them, that you would reveal the truth of the Father and that we would grow in our understanding of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Kurt, it's always great.
It's great to be
sharing
here.
With
Thanks
you
for having
and
me.
Receiving from you. Hey, come back anytime.
All right.
All right. All right. So those of you who are listening, thank you for listening. I hope that you were blessed today. Go out and be the fruitful son or daughter of God that the Lord has called you to be. And we will see you on Sunday. Can't count on